Thank you for that. And sometimes we got to make changes when people go on vacation. So Ashley's out, and then Carla is in on deck here. So we had to pull her up and use some music. But so far, so good. And definitely be praying for the Cuba, the pastor and his wife there. And maybe God will put something on your heart to be able to work through that. And I would love to go, but I just don't feel God is calling me to go there just to visit, do mission trip. I need to be here. But it is good to see your faces this morning. Amen. There's a lot going on. I want to remind you that everything has a start and a beginning. Everything has a beginning and an end and a birth and death. And there's all of that, but there's what we call life in the middle. And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing life in the middle. You've started with a birth. If you're here, you've had a birth and you are alive and you're whatever age you are and you're doing life in the middle. And death is at the end. And we're going to talk a little bit about life in the middle. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 this morning. I want to help you along and try to work with you there, because I'm telling you, every one of us have failed at life at some point in life. We have dropped the ball. We have let people down. We have let ourselves down. I'm sure we have all let God down at times. But we want to talk to you about how powerful God is. But also, first, I want to talk to you about how messy we are. Because we a mess. God is the redeeming power. He has the one that can bring us to where we need to be. And so we have too many people in the world that are living lost. And we're going to talk about the prodigal son this morning, this parable of this lost son. But I want to remind you that there is two parables before that. That is the lost coin and the sheep, the lost sheep. And both of those are great parables. But I want to bring the part into you this morning that deals with family, as a family. But this morning we need to remember that we have a beginning and we have an end, but there is also what we call life, and we are going to do life, and that's what we're doing today. And I want to remind you before we begin that if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ and you are a believer and you are a Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are part of the family of God and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are a child of God and we are supposed to obey God's Word. We're supposed to obey the Father. But we all come to a place sometimes where we get rebellious. We think we know more than God, and we find ourselves in a mess. So we're going to break this down this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in NIV in Luke chapter 15. It comes here to verse 11. Jesus continues with these parables. He just finished up the lost sheep and the coin. Those are great pieces. But we want to stay here this morning. And he says this, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all that he had, and he set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. We want to stop right there, because we need to know here that with the Israelites and the Jews here at this time, what they did was the oldest son got 75%, and the rest, the 25%, was split between the rest of the boys. And so here we find out that it is not as large as the other one. We'll get to him in just a little bit as the other brother, but we want to talk about that young one right now. We want to talk about that one that got a little bit in his pocket, and he's ready to go. I know some of you as parents know that some of your children left prematurely. Some of your children left in a way that you didn't want them to leave, or they're living a lifestyle that you do not agree with. And here we're going to find out today that there is a part here. Sometimes as they get older, we have a time, we have a place in our life where we raise those children up to the best that we can. We're not perfect parents, but to the best that we can. We've even let our children down from time to time. But we need to know that once they become an adult, they are an adult. We don't stop loving them. Matter of fact, you're going to love them more. Because you can speak, you have to speak into their life. You cannot put discipline in like you did before. So all that you did prior is going to add up. Because I want to tell you though, they did not forget what they learned from you as a parent. They did not forget. They might not be listening. They might be acting on it, but they did not forget it. But I want to share with you today, there's every one of us have been a prodigal at some time in our life. Every one of us have not lived the life that God's called us to live. Every one of us have fallen short at some point in our life. Even as a Christian, we have failed God in certain moments in our life. I want to tell you, there each one of us probably have an embarrassing moment that we do not want anyone to know, or a place or whatever we've done that we don't want anybody else to know. But I want to remind you, God's already seen it. He knows about it. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ who forgives. Amen? So he went out and he decided to do wild living. Now, wild living is different for everyone. Sometimes wild living for one kid may be just going across the street, breaking one of the basic rules or whatever it is. But others, it may just be really, really messy. But regardless, whatever it is wild living. So he's going to spend his wealth and he's going to go out there and he's going to take it out in the wild living. And this is an area where we find out that in the part of the lost coin, the lady went and got friends, and they looked for the lost coin. And the part of the lost sheep, the shepherd went out and he found the lost sheep. Here we find it different. Here we find the father is doing what? He is not going after. He is not going to chase his son. He's chosen not to chase his son. Okay? We'll get into that in a minute. But he says, after he had spent everything that he had, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And began to be in need. I want to tell you right now that those people who live in wild living, there always comes a place where they're in need. It's great in the beginning. It feels good. Sin has a moment in its season, but then it falls short because it cannot help but to turn on itself. And he finds himself in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs, and he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When you are living in a cesspool and in a pig pen, I want to tell you, the pigs won't feed you. The people that are there are not going to feed you. When you find yourself at a crossroads, here it is, he got rid of all of his money, he spent all of his money, and there was no one there to help him. There was no one there that was going to help him. They got what they wanted from him, and that's what they did, and they just fed off of each other, and then now this person here is struggling, and they're living in a life of sin. They are away from the Father, they are away from their family's protection. The blessings of God, the blessings of the family are now, he's in drought of blessing. God doesn't bless a mess, okay? He works on a mess, but he won't bless your mess. So he's out there and he's hungry. He's at this place where he's very, very hungry. He wants to eat something he thought he would never eat. Something he wanted, something he would never think about. Eating the same food that pigs eat. He never thought he would be in the pig pen working for the pig farmer. He never thought those things because he had money. He had so-called friends. I want to ask you, those of you that have went out there and lived that prodigal life, where are those friends at today? Because they ain't here. Where are those friends at today? They didn't help you when you were in the jailhouse. They didn't help you when you were broke. They didn't come to your house asking you what you want. They may ask you what you want and ask you to pay for something, if you know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you, there is no help in the pig pen. Those people in the pig pen are not there. They're there for the same purpose and reasons that you are, that we've been there. They've done the same things. The pig pen looks different for many. The place looks different for many, but I want to tell you, there's always pain in the pig pen. There's always suffering in the pig pen. There's always need in the pig pen. There's always those things, the brokenness in the pig pen. And many of us have been there. Many of us have been there, but some of us may be still there today. I want to tell you, pornography will take you down to a pig pen that will mess you up. Drugs and alcohol take you down through the pig pen and it'll keep you there as long as you want to stay. Sin never tells you to leave. It always tells you to come on. But it never gives you quite what it tells you it's going to give you. It never gives you the joy that you thought you were going to get. It never gives you the peace that you thought you were going to get. It never gives you the happiness that you thought it was going to provide. That girl, that man who lives that sinful lifestyle, they never loved you like you thought they were going to love you. They never were there when they thought you thought they were going to be there. They were never there. Matter of fact, you have thoughts that they were cheating. You have thoughts that they were lying. You have thoughts that really, what's this relationship about? It's a mess. In the pig pen, there's nothing that's clean. It's all a mess. It's filled with lies and dissent. It's filled with those things that cannot produce good things. You just keep getting messier and messier. If you wash a pig off, he'll turn around and he'll run right back into the mud. But there's something that happens. He says when he came to his senses, when he came to his senses. Now I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, it's when you come to your senses, the Holy Spirit is poking you, reminding you of the things that you learned when you were 10 and 12 years old, reminding you of the things that you learned when you were 15, whatever age it may be. God is reminding you of those moments because, listen, sometimes God's not going to speak when we are so loud and we're so busy living in sin. You just have to, he steps back. He doesn't mean that he left you, but you're not going to listen to him until you come to this place of brokenness. A brokenness. And you got to finally come to your senses and say, this is not working. This is not working for me. This is not what I thought it was going to be. This is not working. And how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Now here's the thing. This man is starting to think, now maybe I can go back and I can go back to my home. But I know I can't go back to my home as a son, but maybe I can come back as a hired hand because he's burnt some bridges. Anybody know about burning bridges? Y'all burned some bridges. Okay, so we burned bridges, which means you've done some things against the people that love you so much and the family members, many of its family and friends, that you've done it so much that they have to put a wall, a protective wall around them, a safety barrier. They love you, but they put a wall around you, and it's for a purpose because you keep burning the bridges. And he says, I know I can't go back home to be a son. But he says, here I am, I'm starving to death. He's coming to his senses. He's finally thinking, I'm in a place of need. And sometimes we don't, you know, it's even when we pray to God. Sometimes we won't pray to God until we are at a crisis. Sometimes we talk at God, we're talking at God. But when we're in a crisis, our heart really comes out. And this man's heart's coming out. He said, I will set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned. He knows. You know. Now listen, you know if you're a Christian. You know when you sin. Ain't nobody got to tell you. Nobody's got to tell you that you sin. Because you know. Because the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit inside of you has convicted your heart and told you, you sin. And he says, nobody had to tell him, but he's good. He says, I'll go back to my father. He says, I have sinned against Father, and against heaven, and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hand. And he went to his father. That's his mind spinning. His mind spinning. I'm ready to go home. I want to go home. I've sinned. I've got to get this right I've got to get this right with God. I've got to get right with my dad. I've got to get this all right. So he got up and he went to his father. Verse 20, he got up. I want to tell you, there are some people that have these thoughts and they never get up. They never make the first step. It's all just thinking. It's all just processing. It's all just dreaming about the tomorrow. It's all just saying, I'm going to do this. This is what I plan on doing. This is where I'm going to go tomorrow. And I want to tell you, a lot of people have those kind of thoughts and words, but it's those who have the guts enough and the strength to get up and leave that pig pen. You got to get up and you got to leave it. Amen? You got to get up and you got to get the strength. And listen, you get up with nothing. You get up with nothing. You leave the junk in the pig pen. You've got to get up and walk away with nothing. But some people want to take stuff with them. Just one more high. Just one more bottle. Let me tell you, that's what got you there in the first place. Amen? That's what it's got there. One more look. One more night out on the town. And then what you do is you find yourself back. You never left the pig pen. Your mind may have thought about it. Your heart may have wanted to. But you just couldn't get past it. You couldn't drop it. You couldn't do it. So you just keep doing it over and over. But this young man, he says, he gets up and he makes the step and he begins the journey back to his father. So while he's living all up in that, we see by while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now his father saw him because he didn't go after chasing after him, but he looked every day. But I'm going to tell you, if you pray for your children and you pray for your family members, you pray for people, listen, you ought to be knowing that God answers prayer. He's working things out with people in the pig pen. I want to tell you today that the highway, at the prodigal highway, people are coming. and people are going. There are some of us today that are coming out of the pig pen, but there are some of us that are going toward the pig pen. And the father is standing off and he's sitting there looking, he's watching. He didn't go chase after him because he probably already had that story before, but he says while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Listen, your love grows strong when there's pain in your family. Your heart's breaking for a son or a daughter who's went out wayward and living in that wild living, shooting up with that needle, drinking that bottle, living with one man from another man. I'm telling you what, I have three sons. I don't have a daughter, but I want to tell you, I would hate to see one of my granddaughters go shacking up with one man from another man from another man. I want to tell you something, I'd be down on my knees every day because there's nothing I can say that's going to change it, but I know God's power can. God is the one that has a long arm, not me. God's arm reaches far into the deep and to the farthest points and to the deepest and the most darkest pig pens there is. And the father is off, but he's filled with compassion. Some of our family members are not filled with compassion. Let's be real. Some of our family members are not filled with compassion. They're filled with anger. They're filled with bitterness because we burnt bridges with them. But this father is. He knows how to be a father. He knows. Maybe he's been in the pig pen himself. We don't know, but he has compassion on his son. But I'm going to tell you, we are supposed to love our children regardless of what they do. Because the world won't love them. We need to love them. The pig pen doesn't love them. We need to love them. And the world does not love our children. It wants to control our children. There's a difference. We are to love our children. And this man has compassion for him. And he ran to his son. I want to tell you the idea of seeing that. Knowing that the son sees his father and he can't believe it that his father's running from him, not turning his back on him, but running to him. There's thoughts in his mind, I'm sure, that are going on. My father is not, he's running to me. And he throws his arm around him and he kissed him. I'm going to tell you, there's a boiling going on up in this son of his. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. But the father, there's a relief with him. There's a relief. He's coming home. Now I know some of you may not have got that quite that reception when you have come home from living that lifestyle. But let me tell you, I want to tell you why. Because some of your family members are living in the pig pen too. And the pig pen's not going to love on you like you think it is. Some of us have parents that are living in the pig pen. And this is where it's really hard and difficult. You're not getting the support that you feel like you need to get from your own family members. But that's why I'm telling you today that the only one that can truly support you in 110% is Jesus Christ. He's never lived in the pig pen. He's lived among people who lived in the pig pen, but he's never been in the pig pen himself. But he loves you, and he stands off, and he comes, and he runs, and he comes up, and as he's running to him, he throws his arms around him, and he gives him a kiss. He gives him a kiss because he loves him. And the first one to speak is the son, as it should be. He's filled with guilt. Anybody here been filled with guilt? There's only one way to take care of it. Is confess it. Be real with it. Get some integrity back in your life. Be honest about it. Talk about it. And he says this, the son said to him, and I want to tell you, I can tell you he's probably quivering. And he says, Father. Just hearing that, I'm sure the father was very excited. And this is good. We're rebonding again. You see, that young man left everything in the pig pen, all the stuff, whatever he had, but when he came to his father, he still had the sin, the sins he committed. And he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He knows. He's a believer. He knows. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. And I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He knows the deal. He knows how he was raised. He knows it. And he's processing this with his father, and he takes the initiative to say, "Father, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm a mess. I've done bad things." But the father said to his servants, now he's not stopping this process of his son speaking to him. But there's people standing around. Now I want to tell you, it's always best to confess it as quickly as you can. Because when you don't, even in front of people, the servants were there. Because what you'll do is the devil will come in there and start talking to you, telling you, "I don't need to do this." And start working up all kinds of things inside your mind. You just need to take care of it. But the father said to his servants, "Quick." And that means you guys need to do something fast for me. I'm the father here. You're my servants. He said to his servants, "Bring the best robe and put it on him." Because his son was a mess. He looked a mess. He said, "You ain't going to look like that in my house, in my place." He said, "Out there you may look like that, but in here you're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. We're going to put a robe on you. Put the best robe and put it on him." That don't make no sense. But to God it does. You know what I don't know if you just caught it, but the son just confessed he sinned. He just confessed that he sinned, and he's taking that, and he says, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." This guy's barefooted across these deserts and hard lands. Bare. He's all beat up. His body's beat down. Wild living will make your body beat down. Wild living will take years off of your life and make you look 5-10 years older than you are. You watch alcoholics who are 50 and 60 years old, they always look 5-10 years older. Same thing with drugs. Wild living steals years. What's the Bible say? The Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He loves to steal years off of you. And then he says, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Woo! For this son of mine was dead and is alive again." Hey, have you ever thought that your son or your daughter is out there living? That they might not be alive? He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. Had his first good meal in a long time. Started probably thinking, "Wow, I'm around some people that actually love me, not just talk with me and try to get what I had. Try to use me. Wow, I'm home. This is home. I miss home. You've been gone for so long. There's something about it. Home is home." And he was lost and he was found, so they began to celebrate. This is a great peace for him. This is a great peace for him. Great peace. I want to tell you, a crushed person and a broken person in this world truly has no hope until they find Jesus Christ. Everything else is superficial, short-lived, not a real, true, full healing unless you come to Christ. And you get it right with Christ. How many of you know today that you were out there in the prodigal, as a prodigal, living into the cesspools of the world, and you were feeding off of the sin, and you were feeding off of the world, and you know that there came a moment in your life, and you just came to your senses, and you woke up, and who'd you go to first? As a believer, you always know who to go first. You go back to Jesus Christ, and you confess your sins. Amen? That's what you do. That's what you do. But like I said before, sometimes the receiving and the reception is not as good as you anticipated it to be. For the father, it was great. It was a great piece. It was an awesome piece. Now we're going to move into the last part of this piece. I want to tell you, it's an ugly piece. Because every one of you have brothers and sisters, and we all don't get along. Some of you do not get along with your brothers or your sisters. There's a lot of jealousy and a lot of envy in brothers and sisters. Because you know they're always wrong, right? They're the ones that's always wrong. I'm always right, right? That's what we feel. The son comes home and he blew everything he was given. Meanwhile, when the celebration's going on, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He's out working. He's doing his thing. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on? Your brother," and one of the servants said, "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because of him, he has come back, and he's safe and sound." And the older brother became angry. And "I'm not coming in. I'm not going into there. I'm not going into that celebration." He says he refused to go in. So his father had to come out. Now, as a parent, you know, sometimes you got to be in the middle. Sometimes you got to get in the middle between your kids. That goes both ways, because we're brothers and sisters, but we're also parents, so we can kind of get both sides of this. We need to admit something right now. And you need to tell yourself, "I'm not always right." You need to tell yourself that. "I'm not always right. I'm not always right." You need to tell yourself, "Sometimes I'm jealous of my family members. Sometimes I'm envious of them. Sometimes their goodness makes me angry. When they get a new car and they get a house, why do I get jealous?" Well, that's the spoiled one. They always get what they want. Mama always protects that one. Now, come on, am I in the house? Are we in the house today or not? Come on now, somebody, I see some smiles on your faces and you get it. You know what I'm saying. And he refused to go in. "I'm not doing it." He said, all these years, his father comes out, but he answered his father. He says, "Look." Now the other son's saying, "Look," the older one says, "all these years I've been slaving for you." "Really?" I'm just saying, really? We always kind of go over. "I've been slaving for you. All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," he doesn't even say he's my brother. He says, "when it's your son of yours, he squandered your property with prostitutes and he comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him? Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. What's the deal with that? Why are you always treating this one always better? Because they're always doing all the wrong things and I'm always right. I'm always doing the good. I'm always there. You need something, I come in every time you want. I'll help you do this. I'll help you do that. And I'm always been there. What about me? And he says, "My son." See, a father should know how to take care of his family. Amen. He should know how to, mama should know how to bring the flames down a little bit. Let me tell you right now, each one of you are so unique and so special to God. Parents may have a favorite, should not have a favorite. Brothers and sisters may have a favorite sibling, but we should not. Praise God that He loves us equally. He says, "My son, you're always with me." Yeah. "And everything I have is yours." I don't think the son got that. "Everything that I have is yours." But he said, "We had to celebrate. We had to celebrate and be glad." He says, "To be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Don't tell me you love people when you can't be happy for people. Don't say you love people if you can't rejoice on their great moments, and on their happy moments, on their blessed moments. God is restoring a young man's life through his family, and one sits there and you know, I want to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. I've heard people say this to others. I've heard people come up to me and say, I can't believe you let this lady come in again. I can't believe that you can't let this person help down at the soup kitchen. I've heard some of those things. I can't believe that person's here in church again. Because we struggle when we see brokenness. We struggle because some of it convicts us that we never were a part of helping them. But that we just want to stand back and judge them. This world does not revolve around you. It revolves around the finger of God. You're just on a ride. You need to get off the high horse and know that this world is not just about you. It's about Jesus Christ redeeming people like you and I who are sinners who lived in the prodigal pig pen. I know what the pig pen, it stinks, it smells, it's rotten. It takes you down a hole you can't get out of by yourself. It takes the power of God and His Holy Spirit to convict you, to give you the strength to step up and walk out of it. But when you get out of it, you got to learn how to love people again. But then those who are supposed to receive you with love, sometimes they don't receive you with love. So don't look for the man, don't look for the woman to jump on your bandwagon and be happy for you. Be happy and know that you can celebrate when God is celebrating about you being lost and now you're found. Don't look for the world to clap its hands saying, "Woo, you got out of the pig pen." No, because the world's telling you to get back into it. Be happy that God's happy about it. These are the spiritual things of spiritually growing up. That you don't need man's favor when your life was turned around by the power of God. You don't need man's favor to give you a pat on the back saying, "Wow, look what you did." You just need to know God brought you out of it and you testify, "Listen, I was in the pig pen, but let me tell you how God put me out and pulled me out of it." You need to lift God up because through God there is power in His name. Not just in your story. Your story could be great and awesome, but if it doesn't have Jesus, you're just blowing wind and throwing a story out. I want to tell you, because you can't do it on your own, only through Jesus Christ can you get out of the pig pen. And you're not going to love people. Listen, sometimes the pig pen's not even out of the house, it's in the house with bitterness, jealousy, and anger. You may look right, you may do all the work in the house, but when it comes down to the rest of them, you're just as jealous and bitter and green as jealousy can be. You know who was redeemed in this story? It wasn't the older brother. It was the younger brother. You knew who was happy in this story? The younger brother and the father. But it was the older brother who was bitter. Look what they got. They think their kids are better than mine. Listen, grandparents, I know. Your grandkids are not better than everybody else's grandkids. They're all God's creatures. Listen, when we start trying to ask God to give us the mind of His Holy Spirit, give us the Spirit of God, Lord, let me understand and know. When you can love people that don't look like you, praise the Lord, that's where we need to be. But until you can get there, you can't get there until you ask God to give you the strength to do it, because you can't do it with your own heart. You got to do it with a godly heart. You got to do it with godly character and godly integrity and godly love. You cannot love people that don't look like you without God being a part of it. And you're not going to help people get out of the pig pen until you have a heart that God called, that until you allow that God's heart to work through you. A pig pen highway has got a lot of traffic on it. As I said, there's people coming out of it. Praise God, but sadly, there's people going into it. It's a highway, just like it's. What lane are you in? I pray that you're not on either one of those lanes. I can pray that you've already been out of it and you're off the highway. You're like, "Woo, I'm done on that ride." But there are some of us that keep getting on the ride and we can't get off. And I want to tell you how we, and why we don't get off. In closing is this. You've not truly trusted Jesus Christ. I believe you probably truly not have trusted Jesus Christ with your life. You trust Him when you're in a mess. But you can't trust Him when you get clean. You can't trust Him when you can't trust Him to do the other parts that He says He's going to do. And you take over and you take control. And when you take control of your life, guess what happens? You do the same thing you always do. You get in a wreck. You wreck it. How many of you are like the father that stands and waits for someone to come home? You're still longing for someone to come home. You see, through the Bible, there's always been tension between the boys, Cain and Abel, Esau, Jacob, always been tension. And the parents have felt a lot of that. And I want to tell you today, there's only one way you can take care of it. One way. You need to run back to Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand.